because we really are at that level where games are getting canceled, levels of competition are getting eliminated, games are being combined, games are being moved to days of the week that they've never been played on, just so that we can spread the thin officiating pool a little bit thinner.
You're listening to Across Indiana with Josh and Jana,
a home for highlighting the impact of collaboration and partnership around the Hoosier State.
We do it for the kids!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Across Indiana with Josh and Jana. We are so grateful that you're here. Our topic this month centers around something that affects over 150,000 youth in Indiana, high school sports. Specifically, we are going to dive headfirst into an officiating shortage and what that means for student athletes in Indiana. To start, let's, Jana, you and I frame this issue and why it might be important to us. For me, I was a high school athlete. I did soccer, swimming, and baseball. In addition to that, my family has been officials for as long as I can remember. I think my grandpa started in the mid-1960s, and my dad after him. For my dad, it was a way to make extra money when him and my mom were a young family, and so I'm grateful for officiating for that. I think it's important for kids to have high school sports for their development so that they have something to do. Jana?
Yeah, sports were a huge part of my high school career also. I did track, cross country, and a little bit of basketball. I really enjoyed being on a team, having that part of my life, and I want to share a quick story about sports because, you know, why not? Seems like the place to do it. So,
I'm ready.
Okay, so picture this. 7th or 8th grade, basketball. I am the tallest person on the team, per usual, and they have me doing the tip-off for the basketball game. So a referee throws up that ball, blows his whistle, the game's starting. The girl and I both missed the ball. It landed on my head, and then it fell into the center of the circle. We both looked at each other. We looked at our team. We were like, what do we do? So then the ref said, go. And we then it became a jump ball. I don't know if that's ever happened to anyone else out there. It was quite mortifying. But without that ref, I don't know if the game would have really started because we did not know what to do.
Yeah, that feels like a metaphor for maybe the issue we have. Like, if you didn't have the ref, maybe the game wouldn't have started. And if we don't have refs, maybe we don't have sports. And so with that terrible transition, I'm now going to move into the problem. But before we get into any of the research or opinions, I think it's pretty easy to surmise why an officiating shortage might be an issue. If we don't have officials, we don't have someone to toss the ball up in the air and hit Jana in the head. But with that, there's still an underwhelming amount of data, research, and innovation around the issue. And this is especially true for Indiana. And so to kind of frame what we know, I'm going to turn it over to Jana.
Perfect. And feel free to react to any of these data points, Josh. So I have 4 things to share with you. The average age of a sports official in Indiana is 56.
That seems too high.
12% of officials are less than 34 years old.
That seems too low.
80% of new officials quit within their first 2 years of officiating.
Okay, now that one's especially alarming. It also reminds me of the teacher shortage that we have in Indiana and across the country. Pretty similar stat there.
Yeah, and then this problem is not limited to any one or two sports. It's across all scoreboards.
Ton of sports in high school, and they all need officials. And there's a shortage across the board in all of them.
The frustration is real, Josh. So what does this mean for Indiana?
We talked to a number of athletic directors, a number of coaches, a number of journalists who have talked about this issue. And it seems like officials, associations, and schools are in a reactionary phase, meaning they are doing what they can to not have to cancel games, not have to cancel seasons. In the past few years, the Indianapolis Star specifically has put out a few stories that documented schools having to move games or matches to what would normally be an off day, having to schedule more doubleheaders for baseball and softball, reducing the size of crews, which is always an issue, which limits their abilities to make the right calls. without further innovation to alleviate this issue, it isn't out of the ballpark to start to worry about your freshman teams, your JV teams, and even complete seasons being canceled, as well as worrying about your lower income schools that already have a hard time booking officials, having them not being able to schedule games or matches even for varsity. And then you worry about poor officiating, whether it's an influx of new young officials that are having to do games they're not ready for, or just not having a big enough crew to properly call a game.
Yikes, that does not sound good. And so part of our research, in early September, the National Federation of State High School Associations released an editorial, and they pointed to poor sportsmanship and fan behavior as a major reason behind the shortage.
Yeah, and we were grateful. We reached out to Dana Pappas with the NFHS, and she answered a ton of our questions around the officiating shortage and what they are sort of doing to address it. And so here's a quote from her. There are several states that have begun to enforce sportsmanship rules with spectators, and there is a hope that the message of these policies will ultimately serve as a deterrent to fans. While there may not be specific policies that the NFHS is looking to, there's a constant theme of sportsmanship within the playing rules, and there are codes of conduct for coaches and officials in each sport rulebook as well. And so over the last 5 or 6 years, the focus of the problem has been just that, poor sportsmanship from parents and coaches. We'll explore that idea, as well as other ideas and innovations, as we try to answer this month's big question. How might we address the officiating shortage from a youth-first perspective? We'll start in Kids Corner with our guest star for this episode, Levi. From there, we'll interview Dr. David Pierce from the Sports Innovation Institute at IUPUI. And finally, we'll round it out with our big idea and a moment of inspiration for this episode. In Kids Corner today, we have Levi, a freshman at Hammond Central High School in Hammond, Indiana. Levi is a very active student, and we recorded this after his tennis sectional and youth group late one Wednesday. He self-admittedly did not know much about the official shortage prior to our conversation, but as you will see, his passion for sports gave him good insight into the problem.
My name is Levi Snyder. I go to Hammond Central, and I play tennis and soccer at present. I have other sports I like too. Just waiting for them once they come out in seasons, but mainly lots of sports. My main sport is basketball, like volleyball, lots of sports.
It seems like sports are really important to you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I just like the joy of sports.
Levi didn't do any prior research to this podcast, but when I asked him to think about what might be the main factors behind the shortage, his intuition matched what Jana and I had been researching.
There are a lot of people who don't want to do a job in public because of the COVID thing. And then just people don't want to do it much because a lot of kids nowadays, I guess you could say that emotions getting more involved into the thing and that they don't want to have to deal with that. Out of my knowledge.
Yeah, so if I hear you right, what you're saying is that you think COVID has something to do with it, but then also the verbal abuse that officials face might be a factor?
For the verbal abuse, of course. Referees need to expect that a little bit. Instead of the ones making the calls. Yeah. That is great when you think about it, too.
That point that Levi just made is something that we've been wrestling with. Verbal abuse, yelling at umpires, complaining about calls, it's all bad. But hasn't it always been a part of being an official? Hasn't it always been a part of sports culture? So what's changed? To find out, I asked Levi what it would take for him to consider being an official. Levi, you very obviously love sports. Have you ever considered being an official?
I mean, I haven't thought about much. The thing of reffing is that I like to be in the sport more, of course, because just more fun. But there are, like, many when I grow up, if there's, of course, I'm leading something and there's other kids who are doing sports and I'm helping out coaching it somewhere or something, then I'd love to just ref a game. But it's never really something I've thought about doing for, like, a job.
Oh, so you'd be willing to ref if you were giving back to a local sports league if they needed you. Would you still be willing to help if it cost you $1,000 to buy the necessary gear and get certified before you were allowed to be an official?
I have to pay 1,000 Well, I'd probably say no. Probably without a doubt, because, I mean, if they're really willing to do that much for a game that is invented for fun and they really just want the all the everything to be so official that it's just that much effort to it, I wouldn't think it'd be worth it.
For Levi, he sees officiating in the same way he sees volunteering, as a way to give back to something he loves so much. To him, sports are fun. The verbal abuse, paying for gear, paying for licenses, and even getting paid to officiate ruins that for him.
I mean, I think my final thoughts really is just that the sport, what it comes down to is that the sports were originally made for fun. If everybody's having fun with it, then there's going to be a lot more people wanting to, a lot more officials and refs wanting to do this.
Okay, Levi, I have one big final question for you. What is your favorite place in Indiana to get ice cream?
Oh, my favorite place to get ice cream. That's a hard one. Might give you a little bit of a complicated answer on this, too. My family's big on ice cream. We have it every night as a treat, too. I do like Dairy Ball a lot, just a simple soft serve.
Levi, thank you so much for your time. Your insights and your ice cream choice were spot on.
It sounds like Josh and Levi had a great discussion. Now let's go meet our expert.
Today, our expert is Dr. Pierce with IUPUI, and I'll turn it over to him to let him introduce himself.
Yeah, so I'm Dr. David Pierce. I'm a professor of sport management at IUPUI, and I'm also the director of the Sports Innovation Institute.
Awesome. Well, we're glad that you're here and able to join us, and we will kick it off with our first question. So we know that we have had an official shortage in Indiana for quite some time now. Is the problem getting better or is it getting worse?
The trend line has been heading down in recent years, and now you pile on top of that issues related to COVID and then also just the general labor shortage. And we're, you know, nearing some, you know, desperate levels in some sports and in particular some areas. So it was a problem when I first started studying it in fall of 2019, and there's been no factor that has improved it over the last 2 years, that's for sure.
Okay. And this is happening nationally also, correct?
Yeah. And the trend in Indiana just mirrors what's going on nationwide, you know, double digit declines year over year in multiple states. I mean, Illinois is down 15%, Oregon down 12%, Iowa down 12%. Indiana actually was only down 8% over a 4-year period. But again, that was just pre-COVID. So, you know, you see a very similar problem. And that's just from the states that actually collect the information. So there's no central repository for this information. And so that's part of the problem is, you know, just, you know, identifying the significance of it in certain places.
So we interviewed a high school student on this topic, and he, like many people, did not know that there was an official shortage, even though he participates in a lot of sports. But when I asked him what his reaction was as to why he might think that there is an official shortage, his first thought was probably because of COVID, which I think is fair. But then his second reaction was player, fan, parent behavior. And so in your opinion, how much of a problem is that official fan, player, parent interaction? And then if that's not the only factor, what other factors are people maybe not thinking about?
Yeah, so, you know, certainly that is a part of the problem. Like, there is no way around that. And it's also the thing that probably gets the most media attention and the media headlines, you know, when a parent, you know, attacks an official, or those things pop up, it seems like almost monthly now. So that is kind of the sexy kind of narrative. And it's the easy explanation. And in my opinion, a lot of sports organizations and governing bodies are really taking the approach of, I would almost just say, blaming the parents for the shortage. And while I think that is important messaging and those interactions need to improve, there's also a level of just blaming others for things that the sport industry has not taken ownership and tried to fix as well. Education and training of officials is certainly one of those things. It's a very underserved space from an education and training perspective. There's not really been much innovation happen in that area for 20 or 25 years. Now there are some new companies that have developed here over the last couple of years in the pandemic, actually, to try to address that. But by and large, it's an underserved area. The assignment, how games get assigned and how assigners place officials into games is something that impacts the entire ecosystem of youth sports. There's just the idea of, you know, how do we get people to just empathize and see the world from the perspective of the official? I think that's something that sport administrators could do a better job with. And ultimately, like, what's the, not just telling people to, you know, change their behavior, which how often does that really work, right? Like, that doesn't tend to work. But it's like, how do we get people to shift their mindset from seeing the official as the villain, right, as the person that's here to make bad calls against my team, to the hero? Because we really are at that level where games are getting canceled, levels of competition are getting eliminated, games are being combined, games are being moved to days of the week that they've never been played on, just so that we can spread the thin officiating pool a little bit thinner. And then I would also say, what are, you know, high school governing bodies and high school athletic directors, what are they doing to encourage their high school students to become officials? So it's like anything, the problems are broad and diverse. And I guess the last thing I would say is like, you know, community and mentorship is an area that, you know, sports organize. I mean, people just assume that the referee is going to be there and that they're going to do their job, right? But when that has now not the case, like, there are so many things that can be done officiating world. So it's everybody's problem. And so I do find it a little bit off-putting when the only messaging you're hearing out of administrators is, you know, scolding the parents.
Yeah. And I kind of want to follow up on that too, because as we were interviewing Levi, his first assumption was, well, it's because of fan and player behavior. But as he was kind of talking through it, he then made his way to the point of, well, isn't that sort of what being an official is? And I think that's true. I think if we're watching pro sports, we're watching every player and every coach chastise the ref or the official in some way. And so I guess what question I have for you, just to follow up to this one, is if that's a part of the game and younger refs are clearly leaving or not joining because of it, then what do we need to do to either train or educate them or help them understand that that's part of the game?
Yeah, well, you know, at the professional and college levels, it maybe it is, but does it have to be at the youth levels? It really, so one would be asking the question, does it have to be that way? But the, you know, the flip side of that is yes, if the education and training piece is lacking and people are getting placed, I think the problem is with 80% of officials quitting within the first 3 years, one of the things driving that is because there is a shortage, they're looking for people that just have the patch, have the certification, and they're going to get placed into games that they're not ready for. So when you get placed into the game that you're not quite ready for because there is a lack of training that has, you know, prepared you for that moment, you know, you end up with the vast majority of people quitting within those first couple of years.
That feels like a vicious cycle, right? You put underprepared officials into an environment that they're not ready for, and then go ahead.
Yeah, that you're right. It's that the cycle of negativity just is a snowball that's just running downhill, right?
I think that's the part of the piece I was missing in my head.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a strategy, and it doesn't sound like there has been too many widespread strategies happening. So I'm curious, you work for the Innovation Institute, right? So what are some innovative strategies that are happening maybe across the country, and how can they be applied in Indiana?
So I've really focused on the education and training space. So out of the class project we did in the fall of 2019, I identified some issues. The class identified that problem space. Students pitched an idea. I took that idea to our informatics department to kind of build the technology piece of it. And then ultimately, I've connected with an entrepreneur here in Zionsville and here on the northwest side of Indianapolis, and we've started a business called Ref Reps that is an immersive, interactive sports officiating training platform where you see the play from the perspective of the official. So that first person point of view, you make the call, your iOS device looks at your motion and looks at your signals. It gives you feedback on if you got the call right or wrong. And then there's content that it comes in after that, that means the rule, where you should be looking, the mechanics of the play. You know, you see it from five or six different angles so that you have an understanding of that rule or that violation or that game situation or whatever the case may be. So we're really trying to make it interactive and immersive to make it attractive to younger generation, right? Only 12% of officials are under the age of 34. Most, vast majority are over 55 and plan on retiring in the next 6 years. So if you think there's a shortage now, let's come back and have this conversation in 5 years and it's going to be even worse. So we really believe that that is going to give officials the confidence that they need to make the call.
That makes sense. I couldn't imagine reading a rule book and then being put into a game and being asked to make those calls. I think I would freeze. And I think working with students also is a plus. Not only are they getting experience, but you're also wanting to expand that pipeline with younger folks. And so the people who are creating these systems and innovative strategies are younger people. So.
Yeah, and they have great ideas that we didn't think of.
Yes. Josh, do you have any great ideas you want to share?
You've been studying this for a month.
Yeah, last time we talked, Dr. Pierce, I think I told you how deep I was into trying to figure this all out.
Yes, he has been very dedicated to his learning. Josh, do you want to ask the best question?
What is your favorite place in Indiana to get ice cream?
So my favorite place for ice cream in the state of Indiana is called Ohana Donuts and Ice Cream.
Ooh, I will definitely try that one out. Thank you, Dr. Pierce, for all your time.
We will be right back.
We love data. And we also know that a 30-minute podcast is not enough time to fully understand the complexity of the official shortage. Here are three resources that Josh and I used to dive deeper into the issue. The Sports Innovation Institute out of IUPUI blends academic know-how with a spirit to push the boundaries of sports technology and innovation. Officially Human was founded to restore respect to sport officials through increased education and communication to all stakeholders while recruiting and retaining new officials at all levels. This is where we were able to find much of the national officiating survey data used in this episode. The National Federation of State High School Associations, based in Indianapolis, Indiana, is the national leader and advocate for high school athletics as well as fine and performing arts programs. We'll include these resources in the show notes.
And now we are ready for our big idea for today's episode. We did a ton of research. We obviously talked to Levi, talked to Dr. Pierce, and it is a complicated issue that no one solution is going to solve. But with that, I think that we have some good suggestions for short-term solutions as well as long-term solutions. So, Jana?
Yeah, we did do a lot of research, and I just want to share, I didn't even know that there was a referee shortage until we started this podcast episode. So thank you for pointing that out, Josh.
But that's the point of the podcast, so that more people can know that there is a shortage.
Yes, yes. So you had mentioned that we're going to talk about short-term and long-term. So in the short-term, some things that we can do right away, there are a few places that we were able to find data, not many as we mentioned in the intro, but one place was Officially Human, and they have a infographic that uses data put out by, I think, IUPUI Sports Innovation Institute. And this data really points to two amenities requested on site by officials. And these are really easy to put into practice. So security and a private room to change. So two things that can happen right off the bat are providing those things for the referees that are coming to wherever the games are. I think that having a neutral home base is really important, and that is implementable. And then anyone should feel safe. And I think that those requests are really simple.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is it does seem simple, but thinking about our big idea, having a youth perspective, it's also a way to build leadership in your students. You can ask the booster club to have a welcome room for the officials, right? And maybe you go even beyond just making sure they have a room and you know, you have dinner there for them, or you make them feel welcome. And students are so capable of being the ones to be in charge of that, which also kind of leads me to the long-term solution, which is we need to better ingrain high school officials into the high school sports community. Dr. Pierce said something that kind of it started making me think. He said we need to move officials from being the villains to the heroes. I personally don't think that referees, officials will ever be heroes, nor do they need to. But we certainly need to move them from being the villains to an understanding that they are an essential part of making high school sports happen. And in thinking about the youth perspective, I think there are a ton of ways that we can work with students. We can have students be the lever in that change while also getting them interested in potentially being an official in the future. And so, Jana, we kind of talked about some ideas we can make this happen. So let's just go back and forth.
I can start with this fun idea of a fall. Well, I'm going to use fall because it's now fall. A fall sports kickoff party. So you have the athletes, their parents, the coaches, the officials who are traditionally left out of these gatherings, I would say, come together and just celebrate the kickoff of the season of sports and having an opportunity to mingle with one another, share and introduce the teams and who is on them, just really creating a space where they're celebrating. I know from our research that 70% of officials are officiating because they love sports. Levi said in his interview he loves sports and that sports are fun. And this just seems like a fun way to bring together all the groups that are part of making this possible. You said in the beginning, no officials equals no sports. So bringing all these people together, celebrating, making a community, and doing that for every season of sports.
Yeah, and again, incorporating students into that is so easy. And I think that kind of hits on two things. The first is that you put in personal name and face to the officials, right? And if you know them personally, you're likely to think of them differently. But I also think it's from a marketing perspective, it gives the chance for officials associations, which are all across the state, to be on the mind of students, right? We are providing you officials. We are a part of the high school sports culture. And also, we're going to sponsor the pizza at your fall sports kickoff.
Yes. I love that.
Another idea, another way to kind of ingrain officials into the community is something that Dr. Pierce is doing that he didn't mention in his interview. His company, Ref Reps, is working with Brookside Community Center. Is that what it is, Shanna? Brookside Community Center. And they are actually hosting officials workshops for youth. And so they're going in and they're saying, hey, this is a way that you can make money, you know, teenagers into college, maybe some extra money. It's a way for you to build employability skills, just to bring the graduation pathways. And it's a way for you to understand all that goes into being an official so that you can have more empathy when you are on the court or field. Or pool.
That is so cool. It takes the profession, humanizes it, teaches it, and becomes a leadership opportunity for the students, which I imagine will allow them to visualize themselves in not only the position of a sports player, but in the other positions that the profession provides.
Right. It's just making me think that we have high school sports, we have an athletic department. High school athletic departments, it would probably benefit you to create a club that has to do with all things sports that isn't competing.
Yes.
Maybe we're talking about analytics. Maybe we're talking about officiating. Maybe we're talking about announcing or radio play-by-play. Because, as Dr. Pierce told Jana and I, the Sports Innovation Institute is all things sports at a college our students in Indiana can attend and do.
Yeah, that is such a practical in-house or in-school opportunity that if started at the high school or middle school level could plug students into passions that they didn't even know existed, which then becomes a multi-level approach to this issue.
And so with that, we are going to move into this month's moment of inspiration. Okay.
That was too not good.
As good. Yeah, not as good this month, but we'll work on it.
Well, I think that there's inspiring moments wherever we go. And I'm going to tell you, Indiana in my past life was not that inspiring because I lived in Fort Wayne and all I saw were flat cornfields, right? And so I was like, the whole state looks like this. But guess what? It doesn't. And I went to Turkey Run State Park a couple weeks ago, and this wasn't my first time there, but I love Turkey Run. I think it's my favorite state park. There is so many unique rocks, elevation changes, ladders. I just don't even know how it is in Indiana because I thought my whole life that Indiana was all cornfields and soybeans, but guess what? It's not. That's really why I'm inspired because Indiana has so many cool different places.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, we both went to Purdue and my trip from Northwest Indiana down I-65 to Purdue was, it was all corn. And then at some point it was corn and some windmills. So
yeah.
Understand your sentiment on that. But it's true. I mean, up here we have the Dunes National Park, which is just an incredible place to hike and go to the beach. So I'm with you.
So Indiana State Parks, check them out. What has inspired you over the last month, Josh?
Yep. So Levi, our Kids Corner star, goes to Hammond Central. And Hammond Central is a brand new school. In Hammond, they closed three schools, Clark, Hammond High, and Gavitt. And it's been a long time coming. They've been talking about consolidating the school district for at least 20 years, and it's finally here. And with that, the school football team won their first game last month. Yeah, and so I feel like that's a moment of inspiration because it's been this long, drawn-out process. We have new teams. We've combined student bodies. And here we are. We have our first football win. Let's go. We're a new school.
Yes.
And I'm just happy. I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the students and the administrators and everyone that worked toward that culmination.
That's awesome. What is the mascot for Hammond Central?
They are the Wolves.
Go Wolves.
Go Wolves. Go Wolf Pack.
Yes. Go Wolf Pack. Go.
I'll let them know that that's what they should be saying.
I love it.
Yeah. So that is our moment of inspiration for this week. We understand that you all probably have moments of inspiration as well. So we would love to have you call our number, which will be listed at the end of the episode, and leave a voicemail with your moment of inspiration so that we can play it on the podcast.
Thanks for listening. I hope you have a fantastic week.
This episode of Across Indiana with Josh and Jana was produced by Joshua Long with editing from Jana Broom. We'd like to thank Levi for Kids Corner and Dr. David Pierce with the Sports Innovation Institute, Dave Melton at the Gary Post Tribune, and Dana Pappas with NFHS for the strategic help, and you for listening. We'd love to hear your big idea around officiating or other issues affecting Indiana's youth or your moment of inspiration. Feel free to send us an email at acrossindianapodcast@gmail.com or leave us a message at 317-983-3915.
Go football!